This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
But one might ask, how could Jesus enjoy a mission or task so fraught with opposition and rejection, with misunderstanding and cruelty? You see, he did so because of love. And it's not a word that Jesus threw around loosely like some people throw around today. Amen. They'll tell you they love you 1 minute. Oh, talk about you like a dog the next minute. They'll tell you that they love you 1 minute. Praise God. If you go and ask them, say, look, I need something. And instead of them, and they got, especially if it's money, they'll tell you, got a whole pocket full. But they'll tell you, I'm going to pray for you. See, when you need something. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that Jesus did what he did because of love. He did so because having been one with the Father, he had experience from before the beginning of the divine thrill of the plan of salvation. You see, before God laid the foundation of this world, he knew that man would choose evil instead, praise God, of righteousness. And because of that foreknowledge, he planned for man's salvation. You know, we all should have given him an applause just then. You see, this great plan of salvation had been conceived and incubated in the mind of God. It had been symbolized and typified in the Old Testament. And now it was actualized in the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Indeed, my brothers and my sisters, it was a labor of love. When Jesus finished the work that God gave him to do. And as I get ready to close, we see that Jesus glorified the Father by his teaching and miracles. He glorified God by the finished work. But my third point has something to do with you and I. Praise God, we as believers can also glorify the Father as we allow the risen Christ to shine through our lives. Let me say that again. You see, we as believers can glorify the Father as we allow the risen Christ to shine through our life. You see, the miracles of God's grace ought to constantly announce to the world that Jesus lives in us. Jesus said to his disciples at Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hid." What am I trying to say to us this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? Don't hide your light, but let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And when they see your good works, they'll glorify the Father which is in heaven. You see, a flickering light of an inconsistent believer's testimony can be disastrously misleading to one who is trying to find the way. You see, just like Jesus' labor of love, we too have a labor of love to show the love of Christ that is in our life. What a glorious anticipation to be able to say, praise God, at the end of our life, "Father, I have finished the work that thou had given me to do." I want to be able to say, "Lord, I preach well. You told me to preach. Lord, I prayed where you asked me to pray and when you told me to pray." And if I was a singer this morning, I sung what you told me to sing, and I sing what you told me to sing. And praise God, last but not least, I have witnessed to whom you told me to witness to. When you see, you show me, when you had me to walk down the street, and I saw this brother or this sister, regardless of how they look, when you laid it upon my heart to tell them something about you, I labored to witness about you. You see, it would be good for each of us to say, as the Apostle Paul said when he left his letter to his spiritual son Timothy, these are the words that he said. He said that I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And what the Lord God, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but all that love his appearance." My brothers and my sisters, it ought to be our desire today, praise God, to finish the work that he's given us to do. But somebody may be sitting out there saying, "Well, he ain't given me nothing to do." Well, yes, he did. Because if you gave your life to him, and you really gave your life to him, there is something that you can do. If there's no more than standing at the back of the church, greeting the brother or sister when you come in. If it's no more than telling somebody on your job that I serve a master and he, sweet, I know. You see, we partake of this communion today to let us remember our Lord's labor of love all the way from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And when I look at that, I see that he did everything that was right in the sight of God. What did he do, preacher? He healed the sick. Praise God, he opened the eyes of the blind. And not only that, he raised some from the dead. He did everything that was purposed in his heart that God had laid out for him to do. And in doing so, he glorified his Father. And in that final act, praise God, when he went to the cross on a hill called Calvary, after being whipped all night long, after being stripped of his clothes, and then putting on a robe of purple. Sometimes people do things they think that is hurting you, and they don't know what they're actually doing. They didn't realize when they put the purple on, they were letting him know that he was of royalty. Praise God, they had placed a crown of thorns upon his head, placed a reed in his right hand, and they mocked him, and they spit on him, led him up a hill called Calvary, where he died. And oh, did he die? He died so that I might live. He died so that you might live. And if he had not died, praise God, we would not be here today celebrating what he did. All this he did as a labor of love. And I'm so glad that he did that. You see, I don't know about you, but about me today, I'm glad for his labor of love. Somebody say, why are you glad? Well, if I can steal some words from a songwriter by the name of James Lowe. James Lowe gives me a clue, and he ought to give you a clue. You know what James penned? He said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. Somebody say, but the captain of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now save am I. It was love that lifted me. It was love that lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. Can I say that again? Love lifted me. It was love that lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love.
Would you turn to John chapter 17? I want to read verses 1 through 5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You may be seated. I'm going to try to maintain my composure. I want to talk about a labor of love. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
There is a labor of love. Among the great disciplines that characterize the life of our Lord Jesus was his perpetual determination to practice genuine love toward those who crossed his pathway. If we would be true followers of Jesus Christ, we must see life as an opportunity to love, and we must see people as those to whom we have the opportunity of demonstrating genuine Christian love. Today, as we sit as a body of believers, we are poised before our Lord's table, because today is our communion. And these elements of which we will partake, I'm talking about the wine and the bread, speak both simply and eloquently of the mission and purpose of our Lord on the earth. One of the many facets of Jesus' life and ministry had to do with his own concept of his ministry in regards to the will of his heavenly Father. You see, when Jesus spoke the words that are recorded in this 17th chapter, praise God, he had come to a very lonely moment in his life. Oh yeah, Peter, James, and John, the so-called inner circle of his disciples, they had gone asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. They could not stay awake to watch and to pray with him. But guess what? His heavenly Father was near. And in this great high priestly prayer, Jesus poured out his heart
to his heavenly Father. You see, one statement in his prayer stands out to us, and that's verse 4. Perhaps I need to read it again. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. My brothers and my sisters, if Jesus had not accomplished what he implies in this verse, oh Lord, hallelujah, somebody ought to be ready to shout. All else would be lost. You see, he labored in love for you and for me. So as we look at our text, there are three things I want us to see as we look at this labor of love. Very first thing, praise God. How many of y'all was on the Sunday school lesson this morning? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. First of all, Jesus glorified the Father by his teachings and by his miracles. You see, the word glorify simply means to worship and to give glory to give the high praise. God is glorified before man when man can come to know, first of all, what God is like and who he really is. And this was the first part of Jesus' mission upon the earth. You see, when Jesus came, he represented everything about God. So much so that the Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the church at Colossae, he penned these words. At Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, when Paul is saying, what Paul is saying is that God dwells in a perfect, sinless human body. I'm talking about a body with human emotions, a body with human understanding, a body that had human interactions. In other words, Jesus showed man God. And thus, God was glorified in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. It was Jesus' teaching that brought to man, I'm talking about to you and I, brought us maturity, it brought us fulfillment, and it brought us perfection. I'm talking about the word of his law. You see, we have to say this because there were some that thought when Jesus came on board that he come to do away with the law and the prophets. So he had to remind them in that Sermon on the Mount, Chapter 5, verse 15, Matthew says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. He said, I am not come to destroy. But guess what? I come to fulfill. And praise God, there is something about his teaching. You see, we have not matured spiritually until we adhere to his teaching. Amen. Let me let that sink in for a second there. Want me to say it again? Let me say it again. Praise God. We will not mature spiritually until we adhere to his teaching. Amen. Not only that, our lives will not be fulfilled until we adhere to his teaching. One other thing, we cannot fully understand or comprehend the law, praise God, until we adhere to his teaching. Amen. You see, in Jesus' so-called Sermon on the Mount, he laid down with unmistakable clarity how his people are to live. Amen. Some of y'all know. Y'all know the Sermon on the Mount takes it from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through Matthew chapter 7. So I'm talking about from the Beatitudes, praise God, all the way through where you find the text about those two builders who built their houses. One built this house on a rock foundation. Another one built his house up on the sand. And Jesus set forth the most spiritual obstacle course imaginable for man. Amen. Why do I say that? Because if the fact is told, none of us can live the Sermon on the Mount, praise God, unless the Spirit of Christ indwells on the inside of us. I believe I said 2 weeks ago, amen, regardless of what your persuasion might be, whether or not you Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, you name it, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Praise God, because without the Holy Spirit in your life, can I remind you today, praise God, you are vulnerable to do just about anything. Amen. So we have to have that Spirit dwelling in our lives. Amen. And if you are a true believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Spirit will speak to you. Oh, don't tell me that. So I heard a couple of people say, oh, yes, he'll speak to you. Praise God. He'll tell you when you're getting ready to do something wrong. Oh, yes, he will. I know that. I know that. He'll tell you when you're getting ready to do something wrong. You see, we have to yield to him as we die to self. Let me say that again. We have to yield to him as we die to self. That's why Paul could say, I am crucified. Praise God with him. Nevertheless, I live. Praise God. Yet not I, but Christ who lives on the inside of me. So you see, we have to yield to him as we die to self. And you see, this is the paradox of our faith. Amen. Sort of like a contradictory. But something have to die so that we live. Praise God. You see, life and victory comes through death and defeat. Yeah. Oh, boy, I got to let that. I just stand back for a minute and you allow that just to resonate in your spirit? Yeah. Praise God. Life and victory come through death and defeat. Praise God, you're going to have to kill. Oh, man, I know what I'm talking about. You're going to have to kill some of these desires. Amen. And as long as you allow those things in your life, amen, that you know not right, praise God, to continue to rise to